Welcome to Geek News Central. Got a great show lined up for you tonight, everyone. This is episode 1139 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Monday, August 22nd. And of course, this show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Or just paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, folks, got a great show lined up for you tonight. Tonight's show is going to include a little discussion about the Clinton emails. We're going to talk about, is your data safe at home and at the companies you work at? More news, sadly, on some more NSA hacking. We're going to talk about bounty hunters, and not the type that go around rolling up criminals, the type that look for bugs in software. And we're going to talk about Apple and health privacy and a new acquisition they made. And of course, we're going to talk a little bit about some pushback T-Mobile's gotten on their latest plan announcement, plus a lot more on tonight's show. So I want to welcome all of you to the show. Warm welcome to all the Ohana. And if you're a brand new listener to the show, thanks for being here. Thanks for checking us out for the very first time. And it's going to be a great show tonight. Of course, we want all of our new listeners and viewers to take some time to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Once you're on the website, it's real easy to get subscribed to the show via iTunes, via an Android podcast app, by email, on Google Play, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, or just to use a standard old podcatcher. And there are plenty of them for iOS and Android that are available for you to use. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just click on the more subscription options on the side of the page, and that will get you there as well. We've got a newsletter for you to sign up as well. The newsletter is underneath the important links section on the website. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about in today's show. So you get signed up for the newsletter, you'll get an email immediately following the show's publishing, and or when I publish the show. And we'll have everything on there that they talked about tonight, with all the links on there. Of course, really the best way to stay connected is via email, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at geeknews. Of course, our new Slack channel as well. A few of you have jumped in there as well. You can send an email to geeknews@gmail.com and say you want to be part of the Slack channel and submit stories that way. That's a great way to do it as well. Of course, you can follow on Google Plus and on Facebook. Those are always options. You can watch this show on the Roku by tuning into the Tech Podcast channel, adding that to your Roku lineup. And of course, on the Apple TV by subscribing to the video version of this show. You can listen on Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show on the Alexa, whatever application you have that's running that. Of course, Stitcher and Blueberry, great places to go as well. And don't forget about our partner shows. You can find all our partner shows linked at the very, very top of geeknewscentral.com. Either go watch the New Media Show, the Pro Gear Guru site, the Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, Health Tech Weekly with Mr. Jamie Davis, and No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. So lots of content for you to consume on our family of shows. We want you to take advantage of that as much as you can. All family-safe content here at the Geek News Central family, of course. Of course, I want to thank our longtime running sponsor of the show, GoDaddy.com, and thank you for all your ongoing support with them. And GoDaddy's, continues to be here with great deals. Been a sponsor of the show since July of 2005, so 11 years plus at this point. And all of our promo codes are on the website at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Whether it be saving 30% on a new product purchased, get a .com for 99 cents, get a $1 a month economy hosting, or a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting, that's a great way to get started. On the website builder, you can try 30 days for free, get a consultation with GoDaddy, and help rebuild your website. So this is a great option for business owners. If you don't quite know where to go or what to do, how to get started, you definitely can start with a website builder, and the team over at GoDaddy will get hooked up with you and help you out quite a little bit. So definitely check them out. And of course, we want to thank all of you for, again, longtime supporter of our sponsor here, GoDaddy. Visit geekinthecenter.com/GoDaddy to check out all the offers. And we definitely appreciate them being here again as a sponsor of this podcast. Okay, so let me just kind of catch you all up. As we talked about on the last show, I was able to accomplish a deep clean of the studio, which was nice. And that in itself is good, but I've come up a tablet short. There's a tablet that is, I don't know where it's at. It's got me weirded out a little bit. And I cleaned up so well that I misplaced it. And I know I had it with me on Thursday, had it in the car. It was an iPad, and then I had it with me on a smaller Android tablet. I often do app testing and stuff like that with it. And I know I brought it in the house, and it's somewhere. You know, one thing I like about the, and maybe you can do this with Android, I don't know, but I've never set it up, but with the, with iPhones, when you misplace iPhone or an iPad, you just say, hey, find my iPad, and it loads it up, and you can make it ding, you know, ding, 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 to let you know where it's at, and at least if it's connected to the, and it gives you a position, and no such dealio with, so I'm, you know, telling my son, have you got the Android tablet? And we have two of them, so it's not a big deal, but I've got numerous email accounts, so if it's not found another day, I'm going to have to go through the process of changing every email address, password that I have, which will suck. But that's going to have to be the case if it doesn't show its ugly head here. As I reminded you guys, I'll be heading out Friday night for Vegas. I'll be there through Thursday. So again, flying out this Friday and then be in Vegas through Thursday, coming back on Thursday the 1st. So that's in my travel plan. Looking for a guest to come in and do at least one of the shows while I'm gone. So you guys won't be left and be lonely while I'm out on travel. Definitely, I will not be doing any podcast while I'm gone. So that just because the schedule I'm going to have when I'm on travel. Also, the Podcast Legends show has launched at podcastlegends.com. This is a new project of mine, talking to folks that were in the beginning of podcasting in the 2004-2006 time range. And that show launched this afternoon with approval coming back from iTunes. It's now available. But Friday and through the weekend, I got a bunch of reviews caught up. And of course, today, and of course, I think many places in the nation, kids are back to college today. So my son, who has been playing League of Legends and staying up until all wee hours of the night, it was very fun this morning at 5:15 a.m. to literally roll his butt out of bed. I was like, no excuse now there, Bubba. Time to get up, get dressed, get out the door. Obviously, he's got a night job, so he made it back here and changed and was out. So maybe he won't be playing League of Legends until the wee hours of the night. But that just kind of gets you caught up here and what's going on. But everything's cool. We're moving forward. I've been getting some emails from some of you talking about maybe be interested in writing for this website. And leaving that kind of open for a little bit and pick some good candidates. So again, looking for additional writers for geeknewscentral.com and the entire enterprise here. So if you want to consider it, drop me an email and let me know. Okay. Oh, one thing. I didn't know this was a thing, but my daughter in Tampa emailed me or texted me this afternoon and asking for my address. And I'm like, okay, you've lost my address. That's cool. So I gave her my address. And at least she has my telephone number still. And we were chit-chatting back and forth. And she is planning on a February 18th, 2018 wedding. I shared with you guys that they had gotten engaged. But she's saying, well, we're having a engagement party on 9/11. And I'm like, an engagement party? That's a thing? I'm a little bit behind. So trying to decide whether or not I'm going to fly all the way to Tampa over that weekend and go to the engagement party and then fly back on Monday. It would be, oh, it would be ugly, but I'm trying to find out how important this event is. So anyone that's been through the process, an engagement party, so I'm trying to get some, you know, I didn't want to press her too much for my details. I don't know if this means this is a big beer bash or exactly what this means, but anyway, she's having an engagement party on 9/11. I said, that was kind of an odd day to pick that. She says, I know, that works for both me and my fiance's schedule. So I don't know if I'm going to Tampa or not. It's a long ways to go for an afternoon party. But being the dad, I think maybe I'll have to end up going. But anyway, it's just a thing. But we did talk about the ka-ching, 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 ka-ching for the upcoming February 18th, 2018 wedding. Talked about some budget and stuff like that. Keep using those GoDaddy promo codes is all I can say. Okay, so let me go ahead and get into the content tonight, the stack here of stuff I've got. I, you know, this one thing we can say, if Hillary Clinton is elected president, and I think I've said this before on the show, there is no way that she's going to allow anyone to use any email in the White House. They're all going to be on steno pads, and those will all get shredded every day. But just because the U.S. Attorney General hasn't brought any charges, Congress is not done. The FBI had unearthed another 14,900 more emails on top of the 30,000 that were already turned over. Almost 50% more than the Clinton lawyers originally turned over to the State Department. But what is in those documents isn't clear, but a judge has basically told the State Department, you need to pick up the pace. And they had planned to start, the key word here is start, to release those documents on October 14th. So is this going to end up being the October surprise? Who knows? But the judge has to submit, or the State Department has to submit a revised plan by September 22nd. So it's not really going to move it up that much more. But definitely some pressure. I'm sure there's pressure from the White House not to release them before the election. And I'm sure there's pressure on the other side, release them before the election. But not only that, the Congress, Republicans in Congress, have subpoenaed three technology companies that declined to hand over documents about the former U.S. Secretary of State. On Monday, SecNap Network Security and Platte River Networks received subpoenas from U.S. Representative Lars Smith, a Texas Republican. Smith is demanding documents from the companies as two congressional committees for the House and Senate investigate the Democratic presidential nominee's use of private email. So all three companies either sold products that the presidential candidate, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, used or were hired to maintain it. One of the owners of the business said in the subpoena that he's not handing anything over. So I don't know what that, if legally, if he can do that or not. I guess he can be held in contempt of Congress. Who knows? But one thing's for sure is that people continue to demand more information. And with all the stuff that's come out recently with the, you know, the potential connections and all this stuff, you know, they smell they smell that they're hot on the trail like bloodhounds, but we'll see where this leads. It may not lead anywhere. Sure hasn't up to this point, for sure. There's been a lot of hucking and jiving and no one getting charged with anything. So we'll see if there's anything additional in there that comes to light or even is allowed to come to light. Who knows? But this just, like I said, if she's elected president, there's no way that she's allowing anyone to use email in the White House. They will all be on erasable ink steno pads. All right, there's a, and you know, and I think any, you know, if you are, if you think about what's in email these days, and you know, people have a tendency to mix business and work, put all that together. You know, that happens, you know, unless your company's IT policy is, you know, very, very tough, there could be some intermixing. Maybe your company doesn't absolutely forbids it, and there's, you know, big punishments if you intermix personal and work email. I don't know how it works in most companies these days. So those of you working in corporate America, let me know. But I guess, you know, I don't know if we don't have necessarily have a policy at Raw Voice if we can mix personal and business emails. We're not a public company either. We're privately held, so I don't use my company email for personal stuff. It always tends to be, you know, like, any once in a while, maybe you want to slip through, but not very much. But I'm also not working for a government agency where there's strict rules and so forth. Okay, so let's go on and talk a little bit about high-tech stealing. And I didn't even know about this, but there was a report last weekend about the New Zealand rugby team that discovered a listening device sewn into a hotel meeting chair. So you got a rugby team in New Zealand who's at a hotel and in a meeting room, and there's a bug in their room. There's a bug in their meeting room. And you think, who put that in there? A competing rugby team? But if you think about that, if someone was so advanced that they were going to put in a, you know, try to get an advantage on a rugby team tactics by bugging the room, that's something significant. If they're doing it in sports, are they doing it at your business? You know, or is corporate espionage getting to the point where, you know, what you say in your corporate office, is it making it back to your competitor? So, you know, the question that I ask is, okay, is it time to start sweeping offices? And I wouldn't even know where to start to get that type of a security thing done. But apparently, some of these groups now or companies are having security firms come in and, you know, sweep offices for bugs. And to me, that's pretty remarkable in itself. So there's definitely corporate espionage going on. We know that foreign governments, you know, try to spy on other countries. You know, that's pretty commonplace, but it just kind of blew me away here that a New Zealand rugby team discovered a listening device. That's pretty sophisticated. But, you know, maybe it wasn't a competing sports team. Maybe it was a bookie. You know, someone that's setting, you know, the bets for rugby matches. Could be all kinds of different folks. Or maybe an agent that is looking to bring a, you know, they're in a deal or something where they're trying to get a new player and want to know what the upper limit of the bidding process is. You know, it could be anybody. It doesn't even have to be a opposite team. But I thought this was pretty amazing that people would go to that level. But I don't think at this point we should be surprised, should we? So how secure is your firm's intellectual property? You know, how do you feel about coming to the office if someone come in and stole your code or something to that effect? Makes you go, just a little bit. Now, of course, last week, a group of mysterious hackers dumped hacking tools from the world's most powerful government agency, U.S. government agency, and demanded millions of dollars in bitcoins to reveal more of the tools they held in reserve. But it appears that another dude or dudette began posting claims last night that he has more stuff. And he was so sketchy in talking to reporters that he said, basically, if you want to see what I've got, You know, you need to write, you need to give me a grand. In a conversation with Gizmodo, the hacker demanded $1,000 or so screenshots of his supposed NSA haul. It's unclear how this guy stole this stuff. Any reviews explain anything beyond saying he traded some exploits for access to some files and stole a tar file. Don't know if this is the same, if he got the same files that the other group got or what, but the folks at the NSA must be like about freaking out with all these supposed hackers are getting access to material they shouldn't have. So we'll see. And if these folks can hack a group like that, no one stands a chance. No one's corporate network is safe. Yeah, let's probably be frank here. Unless they're as bad at security as everyone else is, I just can't believe that for the life of me, to be honest with you. But who knows? All right, bounty hunters are legally now hacking Apple and the Pentagon for big money. This young gentleman, who's 21, has been a full-time bounty hunter since he was 18. His name is Nathaniel Wakelman. I believe he lives in New Zealand. He does. This month, and again, we're only on the 22nd of August, he's earned $21,150 in installments. He counted them over the phone, 400, 400, 300, 100, 100, 1,000, 3,000, 4,000. Basically, he's, you know, looking at a lot of different systems, looking at a lot of different vulnerabilities, and what he finds, he claims, and he's able to get paid for it, and it may be a hack here, a hack there. Not specifically on one operating system, but this gentleman says he can comfortably clear $250,000 a year working from his home. Oh, he lives in Melbourne, and he works just on his MacBook in coffee shops or even nearby bars. And he actually runs a charity group which links young hackers with mentors. Last year, he bankrolled a trip for 6 people to a conference in New Zealand using his earnings from just 48 hours of work. He says, if you're able to get money doing something like that, and it comes easily, I think you've got an obligation to help people around you. So this guy is a new generation of so-called white hats. Unlike black hat hackers who hack for criminal nefarious instructive purposes, white hackers make their living from finding bugs in the digital armor of large companies and report them and collect on generous rewards. He says that he's hacking for Facebook, Microsoft, Adobe, Tesla, Yahoo, Google, all basically paying bounties on vulnerabilities, and that's amazing. It really, really is. The U.S. Department of Defense launched a pilot program in March called Hack the Pentagon. The first exploit was found within 15 minutes of the program's launch. All in all, 58 participating hackers found 134 vulnerabilities in just 3 weeks, and the DoD paid out more than $70,000 in bounties. I think that's money probably well spent. And one of the recipients was a gentleman that grew up in Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C., and he just graduated from high school last June, and he was invited to the Pentagon by Secretary Ash Carter after the Hack the Pentagon program. He found 6 vulnerabilities on the first day of the pilot, working mainly in free periods or after school. So, it's amazing. It really is. So, most of these folks are self-taught, and they're able to find hacks. There's programs that pay out as much as $2 million on more than 50,000 submissions since 2013, and there's Exodus Intelligence recently announced a $500,000 bounty. So if you've got skills, there's money to be made in finding bugs and doing the white hat part and hacking them. I don't have any such skills, but sure do hats off to those folks that do. But if you work for a company and you're the IT guy, you know, maybe it's time to go talk to the boss and say, hey, maybe, you know, we ought to put up a bounty system and see how secure we are. You know, put up some, you know, production systems, make them available to the internet and see how bad things really are. You know, make a machine that they can attack and go after. I don't know how fully all these hacking attempts, or basically how these bounty hunter programs work, but I think if I had a company that was completely a software company, it would be something that, and actually I've been kicking around personally too, you know, can we afford to do it or can we not afford it to do it and maybe get involved as well, as at least I'm thinking internally for my company at Raw Voice. So you got to have the budget to do it. And that, you know, that can be a challenge for small companies like mine. But who knows? If you're part of a big company, maybe it's time to talk to your IT guy about this. All right, an acquisition that makes me a little bit weirded out. Apple's bought a company that tracks chronic health issues. And if you think about it for just a second, let me, you know, those of you that have an Apple Watch, you know, let's be honest. How many times a day you're checking your heartbeat? How many times a day you're checking to make sure that you're standing up, walking around, making your achievement marks in exercise? I know that I do. If I feel like I'm getting stressed out, you know, I kind of do a little check on my wrist and see where my heart rate is and, you know, how long it's been since I walked around, and I do that. Well, we think about that data being collected. Is it going back to Apple? Is it being stored in the cloud? What's Apple doing with that, if anything, at this point? But as Apple's purchased a company called Glimpse, it's a startup that helps users collect and personalize their health records. Apple confirmed the deal, which reportedly happened earlier this year, but was coy as usual. Apple buys smaller technology companies from time to time. They don't discuss their plans or purpose for them. And they're rolling this company up. It's going to be integrated into its health kit research app to help doctors improve treatment for chronic diseases. So, you know, electronic health records have everything in them today. You know, what you've been seen for, what your blood pressure was, how much you weighed in. All that info that they put in every time you go see the doctor. And all this, you know, you're for the, you know, when I was in the Navy, I came out with, you know, medical records that were sent to the National Archives, and I have the, you know, copy of those. So it was before digital. So I, you know, I've got my medical record in paper and scanned, put in digital. I did that myself as well. But most of you are going to the doctor today, and everything is, you know, they're tapping on the computer as much as they're talking to you during your visit with them. So what happens when we start moving our personal data onto some public company's system? Our doctors are required to maintain the health records in a basically non-disclosed format. There's lots of rules about it. But it makes me just a little bit weird here that that now Apple might have a way to just plug this data automatically that collects on our wrist into this new system. Now, Apple's health kit is used by half the hospitals in the United States to monitor patients with serious health issues. Now, I don't know what that really means. And the aim is to help researchers conduct trials to gauge the effectiveness of treatments for serious and chronic diseases. Since Glip collects confidential patient data with rigorous technical security, the acquisition makes sense. But let's really think about this. Here we're having a company that we buy our mobile device from that all of a sudden is on the healthcare side of it, collecting data on us as we move around. It just weirds me out just a little bit. And the handwriting's on the wall, what they're trying to do here. If they can keep the health data private and not ever allow an insurance company or any third party that are going to market to us for life insurance or maybe not life insurance or who knows. You know, most of the stuff is none of some of these companies' damn business. But I definitely would love it to be able to, you know, to track you. So anyway, again, they bought this company that tracks chronic health issues, and we could see where this goes as things move forward. I don't know. Does it make you guys a little bit weirded out? It does me just a tad bit. But, you know, Google already knows everything already anyway. All right, T-Mobile strikes a nerve with move to a single unlimited data plan, and who it struck a nerve with was existing customers. The backlash from their announcement was swift and harsh for T-Mobile's Uncarrier 12, which scraps its lineup of wireless plans in lieu of a single unlimited option. Within hours, critics took to the T-Mobile Reddit thread to rant about changes. They've since been consolidated into one mega thread. What really ticked people off is that customers would prefer a cheaper, limited option to have to pay up for the new plan. So that is true. If you're not using much data, don't plan to use much data, maybe you don't need that unlimited plan. Maybe you don't need to spend that extra $20 a month that they're asking. There was also some anger surrounding the change to the way the video and hotspot options were. And so this is from what everyone's saying is the first negative feedback that T-Mobile has gotten from their customer base. So maybe T-Mobile will adjust and align to make its current base helping. And they're saying, we're not going to make anyone move off their plan, but we all know how this goes. A couple of years, you need a new phone, you're going to go in, you know, they're going to encourage you to move. Who knows? But so is this an industry game changer or a pain for bargain-seeking consumers? And I think it could be a little bit both. My wife was so enthralled with the option that she went into T-Mobile, I went into another store to talk and basically get the handout. She has to read everything. She just can't be told, which is probably smart. But, you know, I told her, this is what it's going to cost. This is what the extra line is. And I gave her all the details. And we're doing price comparisons with our current Verizon plans. And it's going to be cheaper. And if the data plans live up to the way they're supposed to be, it'll be more. So she's still on the fence. Her current phone will not cross over to T-Mobile, so she'll have to buy a new phone. She needs a new phone anyway, but she always runs her phones a lot longer than the rest of the family members do. All right. Elon Musk is going to unveil a solar roof product to revolutionize the roof industry. So imagine you're getting ready to redo your roof. The roofing guy comes over and says it's $10,000 to replace all the shingles. That seems to be what the cost is to redo a roof on most houses, is $8,000 to $10,000. And what if you say, well, how much just to strip the shingles off? And he looks at you kind of funny and gives you that price. And then Solar City comes in and puts on a new type of tile, basically a new tile that is a solar panel. So your whole roof is essentially a solar panel. It seems to me that would be risky. I because of where some of my vents are and stuff, I have to get on the roof from time to time. So they're going to have to make a, if they do make a roofing panel that will replace your current tile that are on your home, they're going to have to make it tough enough to be able to withstand, you know, having to go up and clear a vent out or whatever it may be, or fix a leak. But this is a rumor. He's going to come out with a new... the new panel that goes on just like your tiles do for your home. So pretty cool stuff. It could change the tiling business, but I wonder at what expense. Hey, NASA's test fired its most powerful rocket in the world. They successfully contested test firing of the RS-25 rocket on August 18th at the Stennis Space Center, Mississippi. We know that the RS-25 rocket engine, which is built by Aerojet Rocketdyne, will power the core stage of NASA's SLS mega rocket. Touted as the most powerful rocket in the world. And basically, the RS-25 is the same motor that was used on the space shuttle. but they've had to make some modifications, some controller changes. So right now they're just going through and making sure all this new hardware works with the RS-25 that will go along with the other components of the SLS system. So they'll continue through the summer to do some testing and getting that motor ready to mount up. Hey, internet provider Cox Communications is maintaining that it is not responsible for copyright infringement carried out by its subscribers. The company has announced it will appeal the $25 million damage verdict in the case against music publisher BMG. So we all know that the verdict was a massive victory for the music company and a disaster for Cox and other ISPs. So they are going to take this case to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit. And they basically have said, notice hereby given that Cox Communications and Cox Com LLC defendants in the above named action hereby appeal to the United States Courts of Appeal. So they're going to have this December 2015 verdict. So considering the gravity of the case, Cox move is not surprising whatsoever. At the moment, many ISPs don't have solid policy in place where repeat copyright infringers lose their subscription. So up until now, Safe Harbors Act has protected internet service providers, but that is not the case at this point with the precedents been set in that case. So we'll see what Cox does. In most movies, when we're watching movies, and especially watching a movie where someone's in the clinker in prison, you know, what is the thing? People are always, they're trading smokes, right? The trading business in the prison system is pretty big. Getting commissary and, you know, trading stuff. That's what's done a lot for folks. But it appears now that ramen noodles is now the number one trading and coveted item in prison currency, surpassing cigarettes. So there's a whole book on ramen recipes from behind the bars. So ramen noodle, who would have ever thought, is the number one trading item within the prison system. All right, for you music lovers out there, and I mean you diehard ones, do you know about Bandcamp? Have you ever heard about this? I was not at all familiar with Bandcamp, but the New York Times has a good article about this site. So Bandcamp, the online music site, notes for equitable treatment of artists and one of the greatest underground culture bazaars of our time. From it, you can stream music to the extent each artist allows or buy songs at a price set by the artist, which is sometimes pay what you wish or order physical products from the site. The artists get 85%. Always the artist gets to know who's buying without a third party in the way. There's also a social media application on the site that lets consumers know who else is buying, what else they bought in the past. You can triangulate your taste with other people. So so this is interesting. I'm not familiar with it. Bandcamp started in 2008. It's run out of a number of small offices in San Francisco. Became profitable in 2012 and sells a record every 5 seconds. It grew 35% last year and has paid $169 million to artists. That's huge. So here's a company doing good. So definitely check them out at bandcamp.com is the website. All right, kind of a new cool way to go find some media. Marvel's new Iron Man will not be calling herself Iron Man. In a few months, Tony Stark will no longer be the Iron Avenger. The 15-year-old tech whiz Riri Williams is taking his place as a star of The Invincible Iron Man, but she's not keeping the name, probably because a teenage girl walking around as Iron Man would be a little weird. Wired revealed this morning that she'll be taking on the new nickname, Iron Heart. So, okay. The name, according to series writers Brian Michaels, was suggested by Marvel Chief Creative Officer Joe Quesada after some predictable names were tossed around. Not going to be Iron Woman, going to be Iron Heart. So, pretty cool. So, we don't know too much about the series yet, so we'll see what happens. But for those of you that are Marvel fans, just wanted to keep you up to speed. You know, one of the big things about after car market stuff right now, especially for many of you, is that you're stuck with the OEM radio that you have in your car. And you may have Bluetooth, you might be playing your podcast via Bluetooth via that vehicle. But maybe you're getting hungry for the potential to replace the receiver in your car with something aftermarket. And of course, at CES last year, we demoed for you a whole bunch of receivers that would play not only would either be Android Auto or Apple CarPlay would do either. Our Pioneer had some products, but the price on them was, oh my, crazy money. So the folks at Sony are to the rescue. And I have to apologize tonight because for those of you watching, I removed something from my mic stand. And what it really is, and maybe because I had the pop filter on for so long that I forgot why I put it on in the first place. If you've heard the audio tonight pop a couple of times, it's because I got too close to the mic. This mic already has a spit shield on it and a pop filter on it, but I just have to remember to stay, you know, 3 to 4 inches away from this thing and not get up on top of it. So my body language or my body muscle memory has got me taught to come up to the point where that old spit guard was. And I just got kind of annoyed with it hanging here, so I took it off. And matter of fact, it's over here on the table. It never fit real perfect, but it just got annoyed with it. So tonight, you guys probably have heard the audio pop a couple of times. So I apologize. I'm going to get used to knowing where to put my mouth and not get too close to the microphone to prevent that from happening. So if I can't control myself, I'll put the pop filter back on and we'll be done with this experiment. But for now, I'm going to try to go without it. But going back to this Sony receiver, they've lowered the cost of Android Auto and Apple CarPlay in this aftermarket unit where, let's see what the price here is. We're looking at about $500. And even the relative frugal app Radio 4 costs $600. Now, this isn't the most elaborate receiver. It handles 55 watts of by four channels and produces virtual sound stages. However, it does have its own device-independent interface with Bluetooth and USB audio, as well as rear camera support. The biggest obstacle may be simply the weight. You won't see the AX100 is the model number until November, so it won't help you navigate your end-of-summer vacation, but there is something on the home front here for aftermarket stuff. So those of you that may be in the model to upgrade your vehicle's stereo, AX100, and it'll get you either way. You can go, again, you can have Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Just you switch between them, kind of like the Pioneer system does. So very, very cool stuff. Hey, Elon Musk has put on permanent display the 156-foot SpaceX first stage. This is the from the Flight 20 launch. It's the first time that they landed successfully on an actual launch and not a launch that was a test launch. So it's on display in there. If you ever get over to SpaceX, you'll be able to check this bad boy out. So pretty proud of that Falcon 9. First stage. It's been stripped. It's been gutted, but you know, the shell is there, and you'll be able to see it at their company's U.S. headquarters. So very, very, very cool. Okay. I want to show you guys what Gawker looked like today. As you know, Gawker shut down, and for those of you watching, this is what Gawker looks like today. But if you scroll down, Nick Denton did his end of Gawker post. So this is the last article on Gawker.com. It's basically the editor saying, you know, sayonara, and this is why. And for those of you that were Gawker fans, Gawker is officially R.I.P. Tech companies are slamming Homeland Security on social media screening. Internet giants Google, Facebook, and Twitter have slammed the Obama administration for a proposal that would seek to weed out security threats by asking foreign visitors about their social media accounts. As we all know, we reported about this before, the Department of Homeland Security for months has weighed whether to prompt foreign travels arriving on visa waivers, again, visa waivers, to disclose the social media websites they use and their usernames for those accounts, as it seeks new ways to spot potential terrorist sympathizers. The government unveiled its draft plan this summer amidst widespread criticism that authorities aren't doing enough to monitor suspicious individuals for signs of radicalization, including the married couple who killed 14 people in December's mass shooting in San Bernardino. Leading tech companies said that Monday the proposal could have chilling effect on the use of social media networks and online sharing and ultimately free speech online. So again, they want to disclose, they want the travelers, and most of these folks, if they're doing bad, are not going to disclose the social media account that they're doing the naughty on. But they want that info. If you're coming to the United States and you're on a visa waiver, you know, maybe you should be made to share your social media account. They're not asking U.S. citizens to do this. Do you think it's fair for people that are on visa waivers coming to the United States to be able to look at the social media accounts of people that are entering this country underneath the visa waiver program? I don't know. But this program, according to the ACLU and the EFF, said this program would invade individual privacy and imperil freedom of expression and lead to a significant expansion of intelligence activity, they said in a joint comment. Again, this is not for U.S. citizens. This is people coming to this country visiting on a visa waiver program. Those of you outside the United States, would this curtail you from coming to the United States and visiting? But most of you coming are not coming under visa waiver. You know, so there's a big difference there. Time will tell. We'll see where this goes. In a more fun comment, if you were able to split the or put a drill hole from here to the opposite side of the world and able to jump in that hole, and how long would it take you to travel through the diameter of the Earth? Now, taking out the fact that, you know, just let's just make believe where you can actually do this. If you do it with it pressurized, in other words, with air, it'll take you quite a long time. But if you're able to do that with in a vacuum, 42 minutes is the travel time. But you have to remember when you hit the other end to jump out, or you end up in a loop going back and forth. And if you want to see the demo of that video on how they determine that, link will be up in the show notes for you. Hey, there's a PlayStation 4 Slim that's coming. There's been a leaked image of it. So those of you that are a PlayStation 4 fans and you're looking potentially for a different footprint for PlayStation 4, this is a potential new product for you. I have that link up in the show notes. Drones now are becoming a big way to get drug and paraphernalia into prisons, and it's becoming a real issue for many of the prisons in the United Kingdom. Some of these prisons were made basically constructed more than 100 years ago, and they were never thought to have worried about security, drugs being flown in from, you know, the outside in and being dangled outside windows. And they're using DJI drones and a variety of different things to bring in phones and you name it, weed and so forth. But, I'm thinking about this a little bit. I'm surprised that they're not flying drones higher where the security can't hear and then dropping the packages. I guess probably a higher probability of getting caught if they drop something in the exercise yard versus trying to get it, handed off to someone inside the prison during the dark of night. But some of these prisons in the UK do not have as good of surveillance of the interiors of the prison as some of the other more modern prisons do. But they've been having some significant challenges keeping drugs out because of the drone delivery. So a link will be up in the show notes. This will become a much bigger problem as time goes on, as they get more creative in how to get stuff into the... A lot easier, a lot less risk to carry it in. I mean, to fly it in than to carry it in, right? Many companies are building chatbots. You go to their website, you got a question to ask, you sometimes are talking with a chatbot a little while before you might actually get a customer service agent. I know that many times, even on our customer service support at Blueberry, we have the same question asked again and again and again, and we'll have pre-built answers that we just cut and paste and send off and personalize whichever way we need. But a lot of companies are trying to build chatbots to take over some of the mundane questions that are being asked by customers. And I've always thought a good structured FAQ is better than maybe having a bot. But if you're a company that's looking to build a chatbot platform, there's a good article on Computer World talking about the pros and cons of doing so and some of the challenges and really what has worked and what isn't, and some lesson learned from the folks at Trillia who built a chatbot and had mild success with it. But I have that link up for you to review as well. As you guys may notice, I'm wearing new earbuds, the Shure earbuds that I have wore for many, many years. There were some issues with the headphones, so I went ahead and ordered a new set of earphones. And anytime I buy earphones, it's a little bit of a risk, because you never know if the design is going to be exactly like the last one and if they're going to fit correctly, and if you finding the right sized I don't know what to call them, earbud, the part that goes over the speaker part of the earbuds, finding the right to fit your ears is, for me, has been really, really difficult. And I can tell that these particular earbuds I'm having I'm not going to be able to wear them for 3, 4, 5 hours. I'm going to have to do some experimentation and find a little different sized bud for these earbuds. But anyway, some gentleman's got, he was talking about an article on The Verge. He was given an $1,800 pair of earphones. Now, none of us, I'm not going out and buying an $1,800 set of earphones unless they're completely molded and are basically made for my ear. That's some insane kind of money. But, a lot of folks are, big time into listening to high definition, listen to audio, and they want the best sound. And he was having a heck of a time. And he basically went and looked at, and I guess we call them ear tips. They're not earbuds, but ear tips. He went through all of his old earbuds to find ear tips that worked. And he finally, at the bottom of his pack, found two that worked perfect. So now he's trying to figure out how to order those particular ear tips. Do you guys have the same problem? I think everyone's ears are just a little bit different. And when you get a good set, because they can be in all day and you not have any issue. But if they're just a little bit the wrong size, they just drive you absolutely bonkers. And I just find that to be the case, at least for myself. Oftentimes I struggle. And is anybody else in the same boat out there? Do you struggle with earbuds and finding the right size ear tip to go in your ear? One thing that I've seen a trend here recently is the Wi-Fi or the router manufacturers are starting now to make solutions that I think they've given up in trying to they've given up the battle in trying to design a single router that will have full coverage in a house. and Wi-Fi dead zones suck, and worse, there hasn't been a lot of great solutions for them, extenders and stuff. But right now, Netgear's coming out with something called Orbi. It's very expensive. It's a $400 router that aims to fix dead spots in your home. You get a primary router, and then you get this new type of extension, and it uses multiple base stations to blanket up to 4,000 square feet of Wi-Fi. I just, you know, when every time you put a repeater out, the performance just sucks. So I'm just curious to see what's going to happen on these when you're on the secondary box in the dead spot of your house, if you actually get the speed that you need. They're going to be using the 5 gigahertz channel, which is much faster, but the range in that is even very tight. It's a very, can't be very far from one device to another. So we'll see where this goes. But this is the second product this week that I've seen where they've come out with a dual box solution for those of you that have, you know, issues in your homes. If any of you have ever had a family member that's had Alzheimer's, you know how devastating it can be. And straight out of Star Wars, scientists have created a nanoparticle that is just the right size to target the overactive brain receptor that causes the neurological disease, while it leaves the rest of the receptors we need alone. The superior method could reduce the side effects of a common Alzheimer's drug that is given in late stages Alzheimer's. And this very new nanotechnology shows a great product. So this research was led out of Stanford University, and they've created this nanoparticle that only blocks the extra NMDA that causes the major points of, the issues with Alzheimer's patients. So they want to get this thing into testing. And says there has to be further studies, but they're going to have to start working on trials. And this is very, very exciting stuff here. But just imagine the size of this, and I read this, and I was a little bit blown away. Now check this out. This particular nano technology is too big to fit in the synapses between neurons, but still big enough to interact with the NMDA everywhere else. How small does this have to be? So it this particle is called AUM. AU is the chemical symbol for gold and measures 13 nanometers. For context, 10 nanometers is how much the average beard hair grows in 1 second. Okay, it's too big to... So this has been designed, and it uses... uses a gold and a chemical similar to antifreeze, which is pretty crazy. But long story short, they're ready to go into trials with this and try it. Nanotechnology is coming. It's going to change everything, in my opinion. NASA's got a 360-degree Mars vista, and some are saying it could pass for an Earth landscape. I looked at the image myself, and I'm like, no, it doesn't. I'll let you guys be the judge of it, but another 360 view from Mars. These are two articles up tonight that I want to talk just a little bit about reporters. For the first time, I was watching TV two nights ago, and I flipped on one of the national television stations, and there was blatant bias. I mean, outright blatant bias. I was kind of, I stepped back a little bit and thought about it for a little bit. Well, today there's an article in Tech Dirt talking about journalists have are basically now at the point where they are not at all being objective in any of their reporting and keeping their, you know, I think it's been a long time since we've seen people keep their opinions to themselves and make statements and report the news, but they're worried, as kind of I am, will the genie ever go back in the bottle? And I don't think so. I think we are at an entertainment news now. I don't think we are in the, anyone's in the business of actually reporting real news. I think it's all about entertainment and ratings. But at the same time, the New York Times is made a deal with Facebook. Facebook paid the New York Times and BuzzFeed $3 million each to stream their news and any of their videos on Facebook, on the Facebook Live platform. But they're not disclosing that, which I thought was curious. You know, this the New York Times used to pride itself on being serious, careful, and full of thoughtful journalism. And but I've seen some of the stuff that they've been doing on Facebook, and I question it. And some of the stuff that they're doing, I don't know if they're just doing video to do video, but it just kind of ties into this whole journalism thing has completely changed. And maybe being naive and thinking it'll ever go back, and it probably won't. Hey, can't wait to the Model 3. Don't think you'll ever afford a Model 3. Tesla's just got a two-year, Tesla just introduced a two-year lease. So check this out. For if you want a 24-month lease, they're making it available. You can use their calculator to determine your lease payments. If you want to hit Tesla's advertised price of $593 per month, you'll have to plunk down $6,000 down payment on a Tesla Model S. You'll only be able to drive 10,000 miles per year. If you want 12,000 miles per year, your price jumps to $620. That's for a Model S. For a Model X, the base unit, a $74,000 model, requires a $7,400 down payment with a monthly payment of $669. And if you want a Model X P90D that's maxed out, $115,000 model, you're going to have to lay down how much? $1,500 per month with a 10% down payment. So $15,000, or maybe $11,150 you have to lay down plus a $1,500 a month payment. Just buy the doggone thing. You're going to do that. It's crazy. Absolutely insane. $100,000 vehicle, your car payment would be about the same. Why lease? Hey, there's a report that there's a lot of malware recently on the dump on WikiLeaks, specifically embedded in the 300 and, well, there was a whole bunch of stuff that was dumped from Turkey, from Turkey's ruling party. They did a scan of all those emails and files, and there was 3,277 incidences of malware and links to malware within that email stack that was dropped on WikiLeaks. So if you're over on WikiLeaks, be careful what you're looking at and what you're clicking on over there, okay? Google's going to drop support for Chrome apps on Windows, Mac, and Linux. So the Google browser's safe, but the company will drop a feature that leverages web technologies into separate apps. And I don't think I use apps per se. I use extensions, so I think I'm still safe there. But definitely, there's going to be some change coming, and it's going to be by 2018. So if you use apps within Chrome, or use apps on some of the Google, you know, Google Chrome apps, it's going to go away unless you're using a Chromebook. For the Rio Olympics are closed, obviously, and so shameful on that American swimmer. I just, he quite literally needs, he wasn't spanked enough as a child. It's very, very discouraging, but, you know, congratulations to the rest of the athletes that did a good job. But moving on and talking about Tokyo for 2020, they're expecting to have driverless taxis could be the be in full force at the 2020 Olympics. So we'll see where this goes. But that's what Tokyo is kind of planning. They got to get to some regulatory hurdles, but robot taxis. And, you know, taxi drivers in Japan are awesome. Awesome. Never had a bad taxi ride in Japan. And the cabs are clean. The drivers are professional. And they get you where you need to go. Hey, BlackBerry's new round of patent lawsuits target Android and a variety of mobile manufacturers. I didn't know this, but BlackBerry has 38,000 patents. And because they haven't been able to succeed in the phone business, it looks like they're going into patent licensing and litigation. This should not come as a surprise. They've got to raise revenue. But they went after two groups with 15 different patents that they're suing against. So with 38,000 patents in the inventory, they can do some damage out there in the space for sure. All right, kind of wrapping up today's show with the last few articles here. If you're a PlayStation Plus member, you need to go out and upgrade your membership because Sony's increasing the price of its PlayStation Plus membership to $60 for the year starting in September. That's a $10 increase over what it is right now. So if you want to save $10, go out there and get that update done before the end of the month. If you're planning a trip to Havana or anywhere in Cuba, AT&T is going to be offering roaming coverage in Cuba. Don't know exactly when that's going to happen, but voice calls on Verizon, at least, it costs $2.99 a minute. And what's AT&T? Sprint pricing is $2.49. So I guess that means that you'll just be on roaming. So you won't have to pay very much with AT&T. It doesn't say. So check with AT&T before you go to Cuba and find out if the roaming is free or what it's actually going to cost you. Also, the Google has released Nougat, N-O-U-G-A-T, the new operating system for Android, the update. When will your device get that? Well, your guess is as good as mine. It's all up to the OEMs and when they're going to roll that out. Of course, many companies will never roll out the update, but you should see if you're in the market for a new phone, the new Nexus device will probably be the only one that supports it initially. Hey, congratulations to NASA. Stereo B has been recovered. For 2 years, they've been trying to, since October 1 in 2014, they lost contact with the satellite, and they finally got connection back, and they are working through the Deep Space Network to bring systems online and get some stability to the platform, getting it point in the right direction and everything. So this is awesome. Maybe science can continue here. They'll know in a few weeks what the status of the spacecraft is. Also, if you're looking to figure out what standard legroom is, if you're not a frequent flyer on airlines, just let me tell you here right now the best or worst. JetBlue, 34 inches. Virgin America Southwest, 32. Delta and American, 31. United, 30. And Spirit Airlines, 28 inches. So if you want the most legroom in coach, 34 inches on JetBlue, with the worst being Spirit at 28. I would encourage you, if you are flying United, that you get the extended seats. Pay the extra money to get the extra 5 or 6 inches. It's a whole world of difference. Let me load up and see what we had for email that's come in. I had some first of all, let me load Slack, because we had some stuff in Slack. And let's go to the Geek News Central channel. We'll go to the Ohana section. And I want to thank Michael. He says, "Hey, Todd, I thought you might appreciate this, given the frequency of complaints of Hawaii traffic." And there's basically a speedometer that talks about the slowest drivers in America. Honolulu is pretty low on the list. We're the most least aggressive, but we're also the slowest. Well, you got to be in some of the traffic I'm in. I've seen, or actually ride with my wife. She's pretty aggressive. So anyway, thank you for that link, Michael. I was supposed to do that on the last show, but we've got it covered today. And I want to welcome Mike, Gary. Some folks are in with nicknames. Big Osmi. Who else is in here? I want to thank Sam for joining. Let's see who else is in. Let me go to the other page. I want to thank Sean, Andrew. We're all in as well. Darren, who's all in. Gary, all you guys, thanks for joining the Slack channel, geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me you want to be in Slack. I'll invite you in. We're just hanging out. It's not a big deal, but get your feet wet on this great application. All right, let me go ahead and again, I'll go to the actual email list. Now, I don't want you. Yes, I want you. Let me open this up, GNC comments. And I had something that came in via Facebook here. Oh, I got an email from Henry. He says, hey, Todd, a friend of mine that maintains a church website is having an issue with GoDaddy. They raised the price of domain by 40%. And when my friend said it was too much, they blocked the domain and charging him a $50 cancellation fee. Now, you should not be getting charged a cancellation fee. If the domain name expired, to get it moved is, if it expired, getting it transferred very hard, you have to pay a penalty to renew it. But there should not be an actual cancellation fee on the domain that's being expired. Typical domain renewals are running, I think I'm paying $8.99 on .coms. .org should be about the same amount. The pricing has not went up on domain names in a while. Did they raise the price of the web hosting or the domain? The web hosting, once you lock in a price, the web hosting stays the same. You should not see an increase in the web hosting price month after month. And I don't understand where a 40% cancellation fee would come in. And I don't know what I can do to help you on that. To be honest with you, I would probably need more details. If you let a domain expire and then you want to transfer it, you're kind of screwed. You have to keep the domain in good standings. And if you let a domain expire, and I did one by mistake a few years ago, cost me, because once it goes into the expired range, it's basically off your account. And to get it back before it goes back into the registrar's pool, I think I paid $90 to get that domain back. That's pretty standard for domain registers once the domain is expired and you have a whoops moment to try to get them back. So he should be able, if the domain hasn't expired, to be able to renew the domain. He should be able to immediately transfer it, but there should not be a cancellation fee. If he cancels his service, if he cancels his hosting service, they've been pretty good about refunding. If you paid for a year, I've never had a problem getting a refund on something. So a little more detail, maybe I can help. Otherwise, my apologies. I think I don't know if I can go much further than that. I got an email from Michael Ray, and he sent me this. It was Facebook Live is getting a cool new feature, and basically they're rolling out two-person broadcast. So I haven't seen that or what the details are, but Michael, thanks for sending that over. I definitely appreciate it. I wonder if they're trying to compete with Blab a little bit. But anyway, two good emails, and do my best to help out if I can. Henry, again, more details, account number would help. And then I can definitely shoot it up to people I know there, and they can look into it. But I definitely need the account number. That's all you would have to share with me of the gentleman that's having trouble. Okay, I think that's going to wrap us for today. We're on time for a change. But those of you that have been hanging out late on Facebook, and those of you on YouTube tonight, thanks for being with me. I hope you enjoyed the show. And I've been my pleasure to bring it to you. So one more show here in the studio before I go on travel, then you'll have a guest host. So look forward to getting a little downtime and also doing some business as well. But I'll see you guys here on Thursday. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Take care. Aloha.